Hey, where's the music? Monday.
It is Monday. The who seemed a little staged.
Yeah, it was.
The part where you went, was staged, wasn't it? It wasn't legit. It wasn't real.
It really wasn't.
Oh, come on.
Bad actress.
Come on.
Calling it to everyone's attention.
Hi, everybody. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. This is the bonus hour or the stream of consciousness. It has two names.
I can't wait to hear the joke from Bert Hooten.
Bert Mustin. Bert Hooten never told a joke. He threw a no-hitter once, but he never told a joke.
Did Burt Mustin ever throw a no-hitter?
No, even as an actor? No, he never did. All right, so downstairs we were talking about this character actor named Burt Mustin, who always played an old man, because he was. He was in his 90s, but still working regularly on network television.
On everything.
On Columbo, on All in the Family.
Brady Bunch.
On the Brady Bunch, on Leave It to Beaver. He was always... If you needed an older guy, Burt, you always went to Burt Mustin. Why would you go anywhere else?
Is that the epitome of a character actor?
Well, yeah.
Like an old guy?
He's the perfect guy. You know, there's dozens of people in the history of Hollywood where you have no idea what their name is, but as soon as you see him, you go, I've seen that guy 1,000 times, but you don't know who he is. Burt Mustin always was the old guy. Tall, thin, balding, old guy.
White hair, though, yeah, what was left of it.
A little U-shape, a horseshoe of
right.
white hair.
But Bill mentioned him on the air, and I had to look him up, and it cracked me up once I saw his face. Because you say Burt Mustin.
And you don't know who you're
talking about. Have no idea who you're talking about. And then when you see his face, listeners, when you look him up, bingo.
You'll remember him. All right, so one night he's on The Tonight Show. This is right around 74 or 75 when Johnny Carson used to have him on about once a year. And he was always funny, he was always charming, and he always told a joke. And one of the jokes that I remember, now I have to say there's some physicality to the joke, and this is radio, so I will walk you through it a little bit, but you almost have to see him act this out to fully appreciate this joke. But it had to do with a guy who was an ice fisherman. And one day he breaks the world's record for the largest fish caught for an ice fisherman. And then 3 days later, he breaks his own world record for the largest fish caught by an ice fisherman. And then 5 days later, he once again breaks the record. He catches an even larger fish ice fishing. So they ask him, they go, what is the key to being as good at what you are? You're the best ice fisherman ever. What's the key to this? And the guy says, And they go, I don't understand that. We're asking you a very important question, sir. You've broken the record 3 times in the last couple of days. How do you do it? What's the key to this? And they go, and they go, yeah, see, what we're asking you is, what are you doing? It's some sort of magic that you have on these fish to catch them. So what is the key? What is the secret to this? And he goes, and they go, we don't understand. And then he spits something out of his mouth and he goes, you got to keep the worms warm.
Oh, my God. And they were really worms that he spit out of his mouth?
No, he pantomimed. He was an actor, Wendy. He was acting.
I believed it.
Strictly acting.
God, that is so funny.
Yeah. So I miss him. This is our tribute to Burt Mustin. He died 24 years ago.
I don't know why. The only one that's ever on the air
right.
in the last 20 years.
Right. But the odds of listeners having a song about him downstairs, that's your million to one shot, isn't it?
The Dan and Jenny Trio.
Yeah, the Dan and Jenny Trio.
I wrote it down because I was just...
Not Danny Trejo.
No.
Let's make sure we can separate those two.
I just, you know, you've got Dan and you've got Jenny, and thank God they listen to us because they're just waiting for years for somebody to
mention... Someone will bring them up.
Burt Mustin.
At some point.
Although if I had to put a bet down, Bill Leff would be the one I'd bet on.
Yeah. If it's going to be obscure, why not? Why not? There was a comedy team here in Chicago for years. It was a team of guys, and they called themselves the Bob and Mike Trio, even though there were two of them. And the band Ben Folds Five, let's be honest, they were making fun, too, because there wasn't five in the band.
There weren't?
No.
I never counted them.
He just did that to be crazy.
It sounded like there were five.
That's all part of the magic of the Ben Folds Five.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Sad news from the world of music. We found out earlier that the lead singer from the Cranberries,
Dolores O'Riordan.
Yeah, that was a shocker. Very young, somewhere in her 40s.
46, I believe.
Way too young.
Cranberry singer Dolores O'Riordan has died at 46. Zombie.
How many times did you and I play that song at Q101? That was an everyday occurrence.
There was a song called Dreams.
And Linger is the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a pretty song. She was an Irish singer, lead singer of the Cranberries. I gotta be honest with you, 46 is young, but I thought she was a little older because I feel like the Cranberries were popular many, many, many years ago, but evidently she was very young then.
Cranberries were popular in the 90s, in the mid to late 90s. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Irish and international singer Dolores O'Riordan died suddenly in London today, 46 years old. Lead singer with the Irish band The Cranberries was in London for a short recording session. No further details are available at this time. Family members are devastated to hear the breaking news and have requested privacy at this very difficult time.
Thank you for the European version of privacy.
You're welcome.
Very appropriate at this time.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm worried. I always think suddenly and young, and then I get worried that it's drug-related.
Yeah. More because she's in the world of music?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
although I don't remember ever hearing any stories. I've heard her name a bunch of times, but I don't remember ever there being allegations of that sort of lifestyle.
I haven't really followed her career much. And, you know, I mean, like, Tom Petty died suddenly. That one shocked me. And
that had not, but that wasn't drug-related
at
all, was it?
I don't know. You're people crawling out of the woodwork saying, oh, I understand he used to do a lot of cocaine. Well, maybe he used to. I don't know if he still did. I don't know.
But the effects of that would still take its toll, even if you had stopped. Let's say all that was 25 or 30 years ago. It would still...
And it was heart-related,
Yeah,
but, you know, you do your best because, you know, not everybody's perfect and some people do bad things when they're younger and try and clean it up.
Yep. Solid advice.
I
will heed your advice.
It's just, you know.
You just turn me around.
If Tom Petty was doing some drugs and that contributed, like currently doing it, and that contributed to his death, either way, it's still awful.
Do you think there's ever been anyone in the whole hierarchy of rock and roll that didn't touch a single drug at any point in their life?
If you could put Penn Jillette into the rock and roll category, which he isn't really, but he hangs with them,
yeah,
he never had 1 ounce of drug or drink ever in his life.
Yeah, how about that?
And, I mean, knowing Penn Jillette, seeing Penn Jillette, you wouldn't believe that.
You'd think the opposite.
Never touched it, ever.
Right.
But that's the only person I could think of that
is
sort of...
I'm trying to think of anybody who just flat out said... From the world of rock and roll, like forever, I can't think of a single person who said, yeah, I never touched it once, never had any desire to. It just seems so part of the culture that I don't know how they would get through their whole career escaping it, you know?
Yeah, I guess. And I mean, we started in radio later in the 80s, but I mean, for a while, everybody in radio did cocaine.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So,
yep.
We didn't.
Nope.
It had burned itself out by then.
Yeah.
We did Lick-A-Maid.
Yeah, right.
Thank God I was teamed
Lines
up with you.
Lines of Lick-A-Maid. Well, I've never used a drug ever of any kind. I've never smoked marijuana. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never been drunk.
I've done all of those.
Today. You did those before the show.
No, I don't smoke cigarettes anymore.
No, I know.
I can't believe... that I haven't. I'm trying to talk various family members into quitting smoking because I got to tell you, Bill, I love to smoke.
Trying to talk Tiki out of smoking?
Yes. I love to smoke. I probably still love to. I just won't do it again. And when people who I know who also love to smoke hear that I quit, they all of a sudden go, you quit?
Yeah.
So I could.
All right. If I were you, I would be slightly offended by that tone. But then I guess it pays tribute to the fact, I know you did, but now, doesn't food taste better? Doesn't air smell better? Isn't everything better without him?
My knee hurts.
No, but even if you were smoking 10 packs a day, your knee would still hurt the exact same.
I bet it would hurt more. That's what got me to quit is they said I wouldn't heal as well. with my knee surgery if I was a smoker. Because smokers, it constricts your... Our old producer, Kevin, would tell me that probably 100 times a day.
Smokers are jokers, Wendy. Cesar Romero said that.
I texted him to let him know I quit smoking.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to quit, but I felt like, you know what? I was looking for an excuse to quit. This is it.
Yes.
He'll heal better.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't do it?
Right. Right. So what do you notice mostly now that you've been without cigarettes for a month, right?
I always thought, and you kind of pointed this out to me just because I'm with you sometimes more than my family.
Yeah.
And,
thank you, restraining orders.
I noticed that, you know, people who smoke, are uptight and they reach for a cigarette to calm their nerves.
Yes.
And I know that it's very common for ADHDers to smoke because a lot of times nicotine and stimulant drugs calm an ADHDer as opposed to stimulate them more.
But you know that, so you know that that's the ultimate quick fix, right?
Right. But that's still why you know, part of it is a physical addiction, part of it is a mental addiction.
Sure.
So I know that since I quit smoking... I am actually less stressed because while I was smoking, I was stressed about when the next time I could have a cigarette was. Because you noticed that right away. You said you seem like way more mellow since you quit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you kidding?
Huh.
I really, the monkey's off my back, Bill.
You also had a monkey on your back.
I did.
That was weird.
And they started charging me extra at the movie theater.
For the monkey?
Yeah. And that was
How
the big
old was
thing.
The monkey? Was he over 18?
Yes.
Well, then they have to charge adult prices.
I had to send him in to buy me cigarettes once in a while, so he had to be over 18.
Now, as much as I hate smoking, there's nothing that makes me laugh more, you know this,
than a smoking monkey.
There was a time when we were kids, we were in a vending machine by Juul. You could either get gumballs, or you could get stickers, or they also had this little smoking monkey toy. And I can't tell you how many of those we went through when I was a kid, because it made me, I would laugh so hard. I don't know why.
Because who would
monkeys
think a monkey would smoke?
Right. Monkeys, at worst, chew tobacco. Don't be smoking. Crazy smoking monkeys.
Well, yeah. But there are people that now think they can quit smoking because I did. Because really, and I have friends that love to smoke so much that I'm not going to name. But once I found out they quit smoking, I'm like, well, if they can.
Right. Everyone who's in the smoking game has somebody like that where you go, if that guy could quit, I could quit. You know?
I quit for 6 years, and then I thought I could go have a social smoke because there's a group of girls that at a party will go out and have a cigarette at that party and probably not have another cigarette for a month.
Doesn't that seem odd, though, that they would have to revert to smoking?
Well, because sometimes it just goes together.
It's part of what it was,
but
friendship, right?
No, they just wanted one while they were at a party, and I thought I could do that, and one led to a pack. And then, I got to tell you, and I don't want to blame anybody, but this was the time that it was rumored that our president, Barack Obama, was still smoking.
Yeah, right.
And in my head, I'm like, well, if he smokes, then I can smoke. Isn't that I am 100% being truthful here.
No, it is kind of bad. I understand it. But you go, if a guy who's that cool and collected, if he can't beat it, why? How could I possibly beat it?
And then, you know, I still believe, you know, he sneaks them.
He might.
But I don't
know.
Possible. I am done with it.
Yeah.
As of 2 months, but you got to start somewhere.
Oh, 2 months. That's even more incredible. That's great.
April 12th. Oh, no.
That's not even close to 2 months.
November.
Oh, all right.
11-12. It was 11-12 at 11-12
that
I had my last cigarette. So 2 months.
We just got a text from the monkey saying he missed your back. He wishes your back was still accessible to him.
Ed wants to talk to us because you put it out there. Who in rock and roll never smoked or drank?
Believe it or not, judging by his looks, you would think so. But Frank Zappa.
Oh, yeah.
Never did drugs or alcohol. In fact, he was kind of anti-drug at one point.
Right. Isn't that a surprise?
Is that
kind
true,
of a,
Ed?
It'll take a look at him. Does he look like a man who ever did drugs?
Yes, that's my question. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
He even kicked people out of the band because they were doing drugs.
Isn't that interesting?
And he, poor guy, did not live very long.
No.
He did smoke a lot of cigarettes.
No. I guess you almost have to have a vice, kind of, don't you?
Coffee and cigarettes.
Yeah.
He did not take drugs or drink alcohol. But he did a lot of coffee and cigarettes.
Oh.
God, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
There's your answer.
Good call, Ed. Thank you very much for that. Really appreciate it.
Can we give him something? Wait, hold on. Are you still there?
Are you still there? Hold on.
We're
going to give you a carton of Tarentons. No, we're not.
How about a Lou Malnati's?
Fantastic.
All right.
Hang on. Yeah,
because
that is like a big one. Frank Zappa in the world of rock and roll.
I had heard about that, but I didn't know it was for his whole career. Like, I thought at some point I thought maybe had used stuff for a while and just said, well, this is not for me. I'm not going to survive if I keep using this. But forever, that's the best.
Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish. Can't find drugs on top of that. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. I think Ed deserves...
at least that.
Yeah. I'm just looking just to clarify this information.
Who are you checking with?
Reddit.
Oh, yep. That's who I would go to. And they're saying the same? Frank Zappa, drug-free forever?
Yeah.
Drug and alcohol-free.
He was totally clean.
Think about it. In that world where nearly every musician you encounter uses with some regularity, not all of them, but many of them,
yeah,
you'd think, boy, how could I escape it? Good for him for being that strong.
I am shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had a huge cigarette and coffee consumption, but did not do drugs, according to information I'm getting.
Good. How about Sixpence None the Richer?
I don't even know who that is. Is it a band?
Yeah, that's a band.
That the kids listen to today?
The kids enjoy Sixpence None the Richer. I wonder if they ever smoke the funny cigarettes.
Oh, God.
Go to what was the website you just used?
Reddit.
See if Reddit says anything about Sixpence None the Richer.
No, and he died of prostate cancer.
Awful.
Poor guy.
Awful.
Oh, I have a...
Did you ever meet any of his kids?
Dweezil.
That's the one I met, too. Oh, wait. I take back
Amit?
My Dweezil. And
I met
throw
Amit,
you on.
Too.
Yeah.
And I might have met Moon.
Who was the one that dated Lisa Loeb? That's the one I... one of them was with Lisa Loeb.
I don't know. Amit. I think they're still together. I might have 15 rockers that have not done drugs.
Oh, really? Can we do this? Can we take a break, get some news from Judy, and then find out
who these 15
are?
Yeah, because I got to double-check this, because I don't believe this.
Yeah? All right. I'm anxious to hear who they are.
I don't believe any one of them.
Interesting. Huh. Interesting.
All right.
What about Tyga?
You're so hip it hurts, Bill. I got to tell you.
I'm practicing in case they ask me to host the MTV Movie Awards.
Isn't he with a Kardashian? With Kylie Jenner?
I think so. Yeah.
Isn't she pregnant with Tyga, little Tyga?
With the baby Tyga? You know the monkey that used to be on your back? Wouldn't it be adorable if he rode around in the Tyga? I would love to see that. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get some news, and then we'll find out 15 rock and rollers who may have never used drugs. That's coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
That's what she deals in, Bill. Happiness.
Yep. Happiness.
Right.
You're a happiness broker.
We were talking before you came in, Jude, about Bill asked a great question. What was that question, Bill?
The question is, do you think there's ever been anyone in the history of rock and roll that has been completely drug and alcohol free? Hasn't taken any illegal drugs? Hasn't drank themselves at any point into a stupor? Do you think there's a single guy or girl or band that could claim that fame?
What about Bruce Springsteen?
Oh, God. He had alcohol. Absolutely. He's from New Jersey. That's what
you
do.
Well, but I mean, I have alcohol.
Well, no. Bill means never, ever had it. Like, we found out Frank Zappa.
Okay, I thought you meant he's never had a problem.
No.
No, just never touched the stuff. Said no thanks, but no thanks.
Okay, why even? Who's done that, period, let alone a rock star?
Me.
Bill, that's why he brought it up.
Oh, come on. You've had a drink.
Well, you've had alcohol.
I've had a drink. I've never been drunk.
Well, that's what I mean.
I don't even understand what that means. I've never been drunk. I drink a lot. And we
don't encourage her, Judy.
We have had margaritas dropped off here, and I have had like a half of one and caught a little buzz. And he has
how is little buzz?
The full one?
Pretty good, actually.
Yeah, he's all right.
He started playing harmonica a while ago.
Oh, he's good.
And Bill has had more than me and is acting a little silly, but I mean, he's never been drunk where he's like falling down, throwing up. But if you did a breathalyzer, I bet you're over the limit.
Nope.
I don't believe
never.
You.
Well, first of all, you're not going to be over the limit for one margarita.
Right.
It's just not going to happen.
Right. And I've never, like, when they drop them off, I don't think I've ever had more than one.
Okay,
one
but
and
you've
a half
never,
once.
But what about on your wedding? Did you drink at your wedding?
No. I drank a little. We had champagne, but I wasn't, not even close to being drunk.
What's your story? What's your backstory about this?
Just never felt the need.
See, and it's not just me, Bill, because whenever he says that, I'm like, you've been drunk. He claims never, and I don't believe him. And now, look, she doesn't believe you either. I know you don't care.
I don't
nor
care.
Nor should you.
But well, I'm just, I think about your lifestyle. I'm like, I right. just feel like you've probably been drunk before, right?
No.
And
no.
You're one time we ate
you're
at a restaurant.
You're a stand-up comic, right? That's what you did for a long time.
Yeah, but that was one of the ugliest parts for me of watching guys just deteriorate.
That would be a
alcohol.
Good reason not to drink.
Right.
But I had already made up my... Like, even in high school, when I'd go to high school parties, I wasn't drinking. I was watching everybody else get drunk and just go... Oh,
see, you're that guy?
Yeah. But I do have to say this. Like, a lot of the guys that used to always try to coax me into drinking, there were a couple of guys who were like, come on.
And just, why do they just... care if you drink or not?
But then they
well, look
all...
at us. We want him to have been drunk, even though he's telling us he's not. No, you've been drunk.
I don't want him to. I just don't believe him.
But, like, one by one by one over the years, sometimes at reunions or... they'd always say this. They always go, yeah, when we were in high school, when we were at parties and you weren't drinking, we all were... We really admired the fact that you wouldn't drink. And there was no sign of that back then, because they're like, come on,
right.
Wussy,
they
take a drink.
You know what? They didn't want to drink either, but that's
right.
horrible peer pressure.
But, all right, see, that's the key to it. I figured out long, long, long ago, I'm immune to peer pressure. I couldn't care less what anyone else is thinking.
You are the best person to go against what someone's making you want to do. He is.
Peer pressure means
nothing
to me.
He will never give in. He is so stubborn. Honestly, you will never give in.
Why don't other kids... I'm no genius.
Because you are very confident in yourself.
But why don't other kids realize that peer pressure is just the most ridiculous...
Okay, because they have confidence.
But why did you not want to drink?
It just didn't feel... I mean, it just... I knew that the bad far outweighed the good.
Yeah, but what about a Shirley Temple with alcohol in it?
In high school, you knew that?
Oh, way before
who knows
that?
In high school, you were all stupid.
Your parents drank?
Not really. I don't...
I'm asking, did you see someone... Same with my dad. He could... And you know what? I can only drink... so much.
Yeah.
Like, I remember in college, like, come on, one more. And I get the one, I would never be able to drink it. I, like, physically can only drink so much. And that's how my dad is.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
For me. I mean, not my dad.
Right.
So I know. That's the thing. I feel like I'm kind of having an addictive personality a little bit. So that would be bad. But I'm asking you, Bill, I feel like there's something in your past, in your story, that made you not want to drink.
The closest thing is this. My mom's father and one of her brothers drank too much. And even as a little kid, I knew that if there was a family gathering, we had them quite often, it would end with him not being able to drive home because he was too drunk. And I remember watching family movies where he'd be walking down a hallway and teetering and just going, oh, my grandfather's going to fall down because he had too much to drink.
So maybe that affected
you. So that, I would say that was part of it because the family was always at odds over who was going to drive him home or don't invite him. You know what happens? You bring him, he's always drunk. So stuff like that. Even as a kid, you figure out, well, this is very negative.
That's why my kids don't drink, because they've seen Jim and I. So we've done our job.
Right.
But it is true. My mother was a really bad alcoholic.
Was she?
Oh, okay.
Yes. And it was embarrassing as a child. It was embarrassing.
But knowing that as a child, did you say to yourself growing up, I better be careful because that could be the exact same way I go?
Thankfully, I couldn't, as I just described, I mean, drink that much. But that's always, to me, watching her, I feel that I could easily. That's why I said I'm addictive. But for some reason, alcohol,
do you see why now it is a disease? Because it does affect different people other ways.
Yes.
Because you had everything kind of in your favor to make that happen, and it just, it didn't come to fruition.
Apparently, her parents, my grandparents, on both sides.
That's rough.
Yeah, and I do, and yeah, so then later in life, I heard that she was an only child, she's passed. That, you know, she was in taverns a lot because that's what they did on weekends.
Yeah.
They went, her parents, who I never knew to drink.
Really?
They had her late in life. Yep, they had already quit by that time. Yeah, so, but I get it why she probably, you know, that was a factor in her case. But yeah, thank goodness.
Can I tell you a weird, now this is just the way a child's mind works, but it ends up paying off. But at the time, you just go, what a ridiculous series of thoughts. So my grandfather, this is my mom's father, would always, at any sort of a gathering of any kind, he would just drink and drink and drink, and then by the end, he was drunk.
Always? It was always
over-served? Yeah, I don't remember a time where
you
that wasn't.
Just had
wasn't,
a couple?
No.
Okay.
And
just,
see, that was my mom, so that was a
so
raving,
you know,
alcoholic. Oh, yeah,
right,
every
what
time.
What is it? One's too many, and
no, do you know, do you understand that when you're like that, you can just then you just have one drink and you're drunk, because you're never not drunk.
Right.
You
You're
wake up
the carryover,
drunk.
Yeah. Still being drunk.
Because I always amazed me when I was little. I'm like, she hardly had anything, but she's always, she woke up drunk.
So as a kid, I would see my grandfather drink and drink and drink and then be drunk. And then I remember, and this was every time he'd ever come to our apartment, he would then go to the bathroom. He would walk down the hall to the bathroom, which was at the end of the hall. And because he had too much to drink, he would forget to close the door, and he would relieve himself with the door open. And in my childhood head, I'd go, well, that's what drinking, that's the worst thing of drinking, is somebody will see you going to the bathroom. I can't have that. But in my head, I can't think of anything worse than everyone at a party looking over and going, oh, look, he's going to the bathroom.
Right.
Look at him. That'd be the worst thing
that's
in the world.
Really
so
funny.
Thus mean not drinking.
There you go.
Nobody's
see,
ever seen me go to the bathroom.
Still there subconsciously. You're like, oh my gosh, everyone who drinks leaves the bathroom door open.
Yes. That's how
not
it is.
Doing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yep.
See, so that makes some sense.
That does make sense,
yeah.
Bill. That's better than saying, you know, I've never been drunk. There's a reason for it. You don't want to be drunk.
I don't want to be, and yet there have been a couple of times in my life that I said to myself, boy, I wish I drank a lot because because of what just happened, I would like to be drunk. But then I go, it's not for me. You know?
I don't know what could happen to make you possibly say that.
Well, when you and I got fired at Q101, I went home and I said to myself, if I was ever going to drink, this would be the day.
I drank enough for you and me both.
Did you? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Ironically, the guy who fired us had also had a lot to drink that day.
Ooh.
But dun, I was dun, able dun. To stop. See, and that's why I really believe that alcoholism is a disease. Because there are phases, you know, where I went through, I liked to garden a lot. And I would go and have vodka and tonics while I was gardening for hours at a time.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, maybe I was a little tipsy. I wasn't driving anywhere. I'd come inside, make dinner, go to bed.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, my God, I'm like doing this every day. And then I don't really drink during the week anymore. But now someone who has the disease in them, that would have just kept going.
Sure.
Well, and that's funny you say that. I don't think that is alcoholism at all. Like, that's what I do. Like, I'll go out on weekends. I love day drinking.
I do, too.
I do, too, and then I go to bed early. Exactly. I never go home and say, oh, I, you know, and open a bottle of wine or a beer.
Yeah.
Because I'm frustrated or upset or ever. I don't think that way. But that's how I think a true alcoholic thinks. Right.
Well, trying to escape
they can't,
your problems.
Right. Escaping your problems. And then
can't
it gets
cope.
To the point where you can't, I mean, it's
survive
like smoking.
Without it. Yeah.
Yeah. You need it. You have to have that feeling.
Right.
Which I think is a bad feeling.
Right. Right.
You know, you learn that pretty quick too.
Yeah.
Be hung over a few times. You're like, that's not that great. Or room spinning drunk.
Yeah. I can't even imagine.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
No, I've been there and it's not fun. It's not fun. I mean,
it's
you don't
horrible.
Plan on getting there.
Right.
But
and all of a sudden you stand up, you're like,
oh, crap.
No. Yeah. And it's always right before I'm about to, I'm like, I'll just have one more.
It's the one more.
Yeah.
But you know, just the way it plays out, at some point you go, well, I'm about at that stage now where I'm the room is going.
No,
to,
you
don't know?
The
no,
cutoff line is very difficult once you've been drinking.
Yeah, that's the problem with it.
Yeah.
You know, nobody has the sense. Once you, that's what alcohol does.
Right. And that's why, you know, to me, if you're going to say marijuana is a gateway drug to stronger drugs, alcohol is a gateway drug too. Because once you're at that point where you're like, your common sense is gone. And then somebody goes, hey, do you want to do some coke? Yeah, what the heck?
Here, take a puff of this crack pipe. Yeah.
And that's what I mean. It's when your inhibitions are messed up and you don't, at that point, you're like, whatever.
Might as well. I'm already messed up. What is it going to get much worse?
That's why, you know, I do think we'll see legalized pot. I know we talked about that 11-year-old girl who wanted to have that in school, and now she's able to. Mm. It helps to prevent seizures as she's dealing with leukemia. And that's what I mean. It's like we just have this aversion to pot, but it's the same thing as alcohol. And I think even more people have trouble with alcohol. So I just think it's, you know, I mentioned both of our moms had cancer. Mm-hmm. If my mom would have been able to have medical marijuana to help her back then, she wouldn't have done it. She wouldn't have taken it at all because she would
just
have said
of
it's
the
marijuana.
Of it marijuana.
That's illegal. I'm not doing it. I don't know that your mom would have done it either.
I believe I could have gotten it when I was going through chemo.
Mm-hmm.
But I had no desire to have it.
Yeah.
I was like, eh.
But then you hear these stories, especially with the children, like they have no appetite when they're going through chemo, so they have some marijuana, and it's all of a sudden they're able to get their strength back.
Oh,
then
you're like, the benefits of it medically are...
Right, and how is that any different than, you know, my kids take stimulants for ADHD. If there was a natural thing to give them, because these drugs can't be good for everybody either.
Right. No, not over long periods of time.
Yep.
It's sad.
Yeah.
Like, you know, anti-inflammatories. For all these years, I had knee issues. I would take Celebrex, like, nonstop. And then they're finding out that, like, when you take this for years and years and years, like, it messes up your stomach.
Benadryl supposedly shuts your kidney down after a while.
Yeah.
Does it really?
Yeah. I know people who've done it, and now they can't drink.
Oh.
Uh-oh. I know. Talk about the ultimate punishment.
Well, I did get a list of people who are the top 15 non-druggy musicians.
And these are famous names that we'll all recognize.
Most of them.
Right.
This is louderthanwar.com.
They're great.
You can go.
So they've never had a drink.
This is... this particular article says one of the great myths in rock and roll is that most important, talented, exciting musicians must have taken drugs.
Sex and drugs and rock and roll.
And a lot of people think, you know, acid and everything else inspired their music.
Yeah.
But there's a list of people that probably didn't take drugs. This is according to louderthanwar.com. You can do your own research.
And they say probably. So there's some...
Who knows?
There's some wiggle room.
Well, I don't know because Frank Zappa's on here. Famously anti-drug and loved by pot smokers worldwide.
Yeah. So, yeah, he is. Huh.
All right. How about Angus Young?
ACDC?
Yes. Second best-selling album of all time and one of the most important bands ever, AC/DC, main man, did it all without chemicals. That's what they say.
Good for him.
I find that really shocking and hard to believe.
Because,
I don't know.
But he and I are very different people, Judy. Is it because when you think of your typical AC/DC fan... They may have experimented a little.
And just them on stage.
And the band themselves. Yeah.
Steve Albini, famous.
Rock and roll impresario, Steve Albini.
Producer.
Like if you ever watch a Behind the Music on VH1, no matter who it's about, they go, rock and roll impresario, Steve Albini. And then he tells you his take on the band.
And he's like a producer extraordinaire.
Yeah.
With music that
he's
concise, drugs
everybody.
Would be a definite hindrance, he said.
Oh, interesting.
Polystyrene, one of the best lyric writers of the punk era. Her amazing imagination was untouched by drugs.
And she was a punker. How disappointing for the world of punk.
Are punkers big druggies?
I would have thought so. Punk rockers, Sid and Nancy, totally.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, you're going to sit here and tell us that Sid and Nancy used drugs, Wendy?
I saw the movie.
It was very tragic.
It was a really good movie, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really was. This I don't believe. Ravi Shankar. George Harrison and
it seems like he may
Donovan.
Have been near a hookah pipe at some point.
Yeah, they went there to do acid, and I don't believe it, but
Ravi
says
no.
He went really out there musically and a genuine master, and according to this louderthanwar.com, no drugs.
I know he had some crazy sex. You know why? He had a Shankar sore.
I am so embarrassed for you. Maybe you should start drinking.
I wish you would drink.
Oh, my God. I can't even continue.
This is what happens when you don't drink.
Oh, I can't even continue. That is like... That is a... I don't
That's
even know what
to tell
That's
what someone who doesn't
you.
Drink says.
That is a rehab Dixie Riddle...
Thank you. Now, when I put out my rehab Dixie Riddle cups, you're going to want money.
All right, maybe.
All right.
Ian Anderson, I don't believe. First Jethro Tull album is brilliant, like a British Captain Beefheart, and evidently no drugs
No
involved.
Drugs for
the
Ian Anderson.
The guy wore tights, for God's sakes. I say
right,
drugs.
He must
I
use
totally
drugs.
Believe it. I really you think really? They have to use drugs to have
he was
made
thick
that
as a
music?
Brick.
No. Some people are high on life.
Yeah. Bruce Springsteen.
You know those. Oh,
drug free producer Judy. Of big whoop, anthems.
Whoop, Judy came through. Yep.
But drug free, I think alcohol.
You think
okay,
you
but he's
bit?
Never had a problem.
Yeah, you, but that's we're
of
not.
Of course, he's been drinking Bud Light forever, probably.
Yeah,
but I don't know that to be a fact. I got to be honest with you. I've never seen a picture of Bruce Springsteen with a beer. Maybe he never did.
I'm more impressed that he's never done drugs.
Kiss. They should have done it.
See?
More like glammed up supermarket than a band. Kiss didn't take drugs. I know for a fact Gene Simmons
is adamant about
yeah.
it.
Right. You know what? There you go.
But none of the guys in Kiss.
Adam Ant?
No, you have to take drugs to see them.
Adam Ant, you know his lyrics?
Yeah.
Don't drink, don't smoke. What do you do? What was that?
That's an Adam Ant lyric. Oh. Wonderful.
I'm lyric. Thinking the don't drink, yeah. don't smoke. What do you do?
Oh, yeah, that one?
Yeah, he sang that. And
Chaz,
none of
find
it
the beginning
drugs.
Of the song Wonderful from Adam Ant, where
and
he goes.
We'll... Morrissey. Anti-rock and roll.
Oh, interesting.
Morrissey didn't need drugs to open up his amazing imagination. Very sad all the time, though.
Yeah, not Jim Morrissey. Just Morrissey. I put Jim Morrison and Morrissey together, Wendy, and I got Jim Morrissey.
The Lizard Queen?
The Lizard Queen. And I can do anything.
Frank Zappa, as we mentioned. And yeah. I do know this to be a fact. Ted Nugent.
Listen, that was me. That was my part.
Okay, we're talking about no drinking or drugs. We mentioned Adam Ant. What song is more popular, Goody Two Shoes or this?
I went deep. I want a deeper cut.
You're behind the music. You're behind the
rock
times.
And roll impresario Steve.
Exactly.
Albini.
That's who we go to for behind the
one
the
thing
music.
I remember about Bill is he always went with Adam Ant's second cut.
Ted Nugent, and I met Ted numerous times.
Yeah.
Musician wise, I love his music. Stranglehold is like the best song ever.
Yeah.
Politically. He can go elsewhere, but I've met him through Kevin Matthews a million times, and I remember him saying how he's never ingested any drugs or alcohol ever,
right.
And I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah.
That one surprises me.
Yes.
Henry Rollins.
Oh, Henry Rollins, right.
No drugs here either, yeah. And who's going to argue?
Right. He'll punch you.
And Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, I didn't,
which
thought,
I have
I didn't
heard
think
that
about
too,
that one,
actually.
But good for them.
It's weird. I
what about
don't...
Stryper?
Well, they were Christian rock.
They were very religious, so they probably had
they
wine
just
with communion.
Wine. Yeah, they rated the
that's
wine.
Good stuff.
You don't do drugs or drink if you're religious.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, but
I
they were
know.
Putting forth an image for the kids that
yeah,
was very
holy
scrubby
rollers.
Clean.
Holy rockers.
Holy yeah. Holy rocker rollers.
When I worked at the AM Christian Ethnic station that I worked at for my very first paid gig,
yeah.
I played Stryper.
Oh.
And Michael W. Smith.
Oh.
Never listened to him
that's
again.
Quite a playlist.
Didn't really listen to him there either. But
no.
I would play him.
We must take a break. Judy, thank you very much for hanging out.
Very fun.
Come
thanks
by again sometime.
How about tomorrow? Same time?
Yes.
I don't want to intrude, but
no.
If I can.
What if we get snowed in
back.
And we have to have a slumber party tonight?
Wouldn't that be magical? Woo-hoo!
Who has the drugs? Who has the alcohol?
Wow.
I'll go get some.
Wow. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll close up things next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Wrong one, Jazzy. It's a Monday. What are you going to do about it?
We have to start the show over.
No.
We have to.
Not.
Wendy, legally.
Nope.
If that song plays, the show must start over.
Nope, we're not doing it. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Yes.
Be kind to people, will you? Do that today, please.
Wouldn't that be nice? Just for a change of pace.
Yep.
Everyone could just be nice to each other for a little bit. Thanks, everybody, for listening to today's show. We greatly appreciate it. A whole week of fun is planned for your enjoyment.
I like it.
It started today.
Drug-free.
Drug-free.
Maybe yeah. Not alcohol-free. I don't know yet.
Yeah.
We'll see how the week goes.
Get back to us on that. All right, that's it. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.